My name is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor with Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. It's now 5 o'clock Pacific time in the United States, and I know we have people calling from all over, and from Switzerland, from Ireland, from Sweden, from Australia, from Canada, from the United States, from many, many places all over the globe. And I have to tell you, for all of us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, it is such an honor and a privilege for us to be able to connect with you and to spend some time, a couple times a month, introducing you to and allowing you to learn with us from some of the greatest minds and most accomplished individuals in the world today. And that tonight is no exception. Those of you who are not yet members of our Real Life Legends Club, I want to encourage you and invite you to consider that. Our Real Life Legend Club members will receive the recordings and transcripts of this call, as well as all the transcripts and recordings of the interviews we've done since last September with people like marketing genius Jay Abraham, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Dr. John Gray, the author of Conversations with God, Neil Donald Walsh, the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen R. Covey, as well as his son, Stephen M. R. Covey, speaking on the speed of trust. Just a whole slew of incredible interviews. All of those are available, both the recordings and transcripts are available to our Real Life Legend Club members, as well as, of course, all the upcoming calls, which I'll be mentioning before we close tonight. This evening we have a very, very special guest, and before I introduce him, I have to tell you how you can learn about being a Real Life Legend Club member. Just go to www.healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/elite, E-L-I-T-E, dot A-S-P, A is in Apple, S is in Sam, P is in Paul. So again, to learn about the Real Life Legends Club, just go to www.healthywealthyannisinnancywise.com/elite, E-L-I-T-E, dot A is in Apple, S is in Sam, P is in Paul. So with that, without further ado, it's my great pleasure to introduce tonight our co-host, our very distinguished co-host. Paul Sheely is the co-founder and chairman of Learning Strategies Corporation. He has been our co-host with our interviews with Neil Donald Walsh and last month with Stephen Simon of the Spiritual Cinema Circle. Whenever he is co-hosting with us, we get a slew of emails from people saying how incisive his questions are and how helpful it's been, the commentary and the process that he leads us through when he is interviewing. So Paul is an award-winning published speaker. He brings his unique expertise in neurolinguistic programming, accelerative learning, and preconscious processing in developing leading-edge provocative programs. And I encourage all of you, if you're not yet familiar with Learning Strategies Corporation, then write down this website and be sure and go there sometime after this call. It's www.learningstrategies.com, learningstrategies.com. So, Paul, I am so pleased, privileged, and honored to have you here tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce tonight's guest.
Thanks so much, Chris. It's great to be here. Well, it's a pleasure for me to introduce Bill Harris. Bill Harris is a person I've known for a number of years. Bill Harris has been involved in personal development for over 35 years as a seeker, teacher, public speaker, author, musician, composer, therapist, workshop leader, and business owner. A student of ancient and modern research into the nature of mind, he has studied and practiced a variety of traditional and modern transformational techniques and approaches with a variety of teachers. Bill is president and director of Centerpoint Research Institute. He started Centerpoint in 1989 with borrowed recording equipment set up on his kitchen table. Now, when he published his book, Thresholds of Mind, in 2002, it referred to 80,000 people in 62 countries having benefited from his work. Now over 200,000 people in 172 countries on 6 continents have used Centerpoint programs to improve their lives. In his role as director of Centerpoint Research Institute, Bill is the creator of the Holosync Solution Program and Life Principles Integration Process. In addition to his groundbreaking work in the field of personal development, Bill Bill has become widely known for his ability to take his knowledge and passion for personal growth and development and transform it into an incredibly successful business. Tonight, we look forward to understanding exactly how he does that so that all of us on the phone can use his experience to turn our own passions into great success. Welcome, Bill. Thanks so much for being with us tonight.
You bet. My pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
Now, are you getting that echo on the phone as well?
I am.
And did you hear it when Chris was speaking?
I did, yes.
So, okay. Bill and Paul, I have contacted the conferencing company, and they said that they're going to take care of it. So let's just proceed, and hopefully it'll be gone shortly.
Yeah, I don't hear an echo on your voice right now. We'll just pretend we're doing this in the Grand Canyon.
There you go.
A big space. Well, Bill, you've done something extraordinary. I mean, to say the least, it is extraordinary. You've created Holosync, a completely new human development technology, and you developed a multi-million-dollar business around it. So would you tell us how your passions led you to this and something about the story of how Holosync came to be?
Well, let's see. How can I answer that? And in the time we have, that's a big question. I guess that my passions, the two passions that I had that really led to this were, first of all, a passion for meditation. I was very interested in meditation and had been meditating in a traditional way for about 16 years when I first started playing around with what became Holosync. My other passion was to figure out why I was so screwed up and get myself from being unhappy and angry and depressed to being happy and functional. So it was really trying to figure out how I could be happy and why there was something wrong with me, or at least I thought there was something wrong with me, that really gave me the motivation to continue doing this. Now, as I said, I'd been using traditional meditation for quite a long time, and I'd been a very disciplined meditator. And I heard that there was a way to induce the brainwave patterns of regular meditation, traditional meditation, using sound. And in fact, the place that I found this out really was an article in Scientific American that was published in 1973 called Auditory Beats in the Brain by a man named Dr. Gerald Oster, who was a researcher at Mount Sinai Medical Center in New York. And this article described a way using certain very precise combinations of sound waves, sine wave tones, you could induce different brainwave patterns, including those of meditation, enhanced learning, enhanced creativity, and many other states. So a number of my friends and I began to play around with this to find out what would happen. We were curious to know whether, if we did this, we would have the same experience we had had meditating in a traditional way. Would we get the same benefits of meditation that we had read about in all the books we'd read about? You know, most people have the experience of reading all this great stuff about meditation, and then they do it, and very little, if any, of it actually happens, because it takes decades, literally, to perfect the technique. What we found when we used this more high-tech way of meditating was that the deep meditative states happened easily and instantly, and that the benefits that we'd read about and had sought for so many years began to come really quickly. And pretty soon, the anger and depression and other dysfunctional emotional problems I have began to fall away. And 4 years later, I was a totally different person. I used to be the guy in the little Abner cartoon who always had the black cloud over his head. I was really negative, really angry, difficult to get along with, and all of that just lifted from me, and my entire life changed, and people really noticed this huge, huge difference in me. And
now,
people began...
I'm curious, Bill, when you went into meditation, did you go into it for the purpose of getting more happy or for the purpose of getting out of your depression? Or did you meditate for one reason and then hope that somehow you would also figure out why you're screwed up?
Well, I don't know that in those days I really saw the connection the way, as clearly as I see it now. Like a lot of people, you know, I mean, we have probably about 180,000 people in 172 countries now doing this program, and we interact with them to a very high degree, so we get lots of feedback from what's happening when people do this. And I can see now that many people who come to us that are interested in meditation, really what's going on is that they're very unhappy in some way, and they read these books about meditation. They read books by famous yogis or, you know, Zen masters or whatever, and what they describe sounds so wonderful in comparison to the way that these people feel that they think, wow, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be a yogi. I want to be a Zen master or whatever. They're not really thinking so much in terms of there's something dysfunctional that I'm doing inside as a result of trauma I've suffered in the past, and I need to heal that. They're kind of, it's really an escape almost. And the fortunate thing about it is that this is the type of escape that if you try to escape doing this, it turns out to help you anyway. It's okay. Really the one way of running away from yourself that really turns you back on yourself and causes you to actually become clear about what's going on, if you're persistent enough about doing it.
So when you got into the Holosync technology and really discovered that this high-tech way of meditating could in a matter of a couple of years save you decades in order to get to a similar outcome, were you simultaneously noticing that the other people around you were changing in the same way they were saying that, gee, you know, you've really changed, Bill?
Well, the people that were doing this with me, and there was a, you know, a growing number of people, 15 or 20 people eventually, that were experimenting with this with me, they were all having similar changes, yes. Everyone was having some really remarkable experiences and really remarkable changes in their mental, emotional, spiritual health. I may have been more screwed up than most of them, so it might have seemed a little more dramatic for me, but everyone was experiencing the same sort of thing.
The reason I'm giggling is it's not because I'm laughing at the fact that you may have been screwed up. I just can relate so much to that. You know, what drove me into my early days of meditation back in the 70s myself. I mean, it really was a great way to handle a whole bunch of emotional states that seemed to be running my life instead of me running my life.
Right, exactly. One of the things that I noticed was that people, you know, what I tell people today is that everyone is creating their reality by certain things they do inside. But most of those things are totally outside of their awareness. They're doing them unconsciously, automatically, unintentionally. And once you become aware enough that you begin to see these internal processes, those that do not serve you, which in my case was most of them, begin to fall away. You just cannot do these things that sabotage yourself emotionally and otherwise and do them consciously. You can do them unconsciously for your whole life, and many people have proved that, but you can't do them consciously. So there are many things that Holosync does, many benefits that I could go through, but in a fundamental way, the main benefit is that it increases your conscious awareness to the point that you begin to see how you are creating the states that you feel moment by moment, states and emotions you feel, and how you're creating your behaviors and the situations and people that you either attract or are attracted to, which ultimately creates the results in your life, internally and externally. So that awareness is the same thing that all the yogis are talking about, all the Zen masters are talking about, and it really turns out to not be the same as what you think it is when you read all these books. It's not that the books are inaccurate, it's just that until you experience it for yourself, you just, you know, it's sort of like you read all the books in the world about what strawberries taste like, but until you taste one, your mental conception of what it's going to be like is really not accurate. And the same goes for this awareness.
This is different than therapy, per se, where you sit in a chair and psychotherapy, you try to gain insight into the nature of your problem. What you're saying is that what pops into conscious awareness is the fact that you are in charge of making these choices and you can choose to make other choices? Is that what I'm understanding?
That would certainly be one way to say it, and you bring up a really good point, Paul, because there is a distinction that most people don't understand between knowing something and being aware of something. Most people that are in personal growth could write a master's thesis about their stuff. Most people are experts about their stuff. They know all about it, but they still do it. So it's not. I'm not talking about cognitively understanding something, or as you said, having insight into it. That certainly can be helpful, but there's something when your awareness actually expands to the point that what was unconscious, that unconscious internal processes that you are doing, but you don't really know you're doing, once you become aware of those things, something really remarkable happens. Well, Ken Wilber is fond of saying awareness in and of itself is transformative, and he's exactly right. As you become aware of how you're creating your life, you cannot continue to do the things that you've been doing that are not resourceful for you.
Okay, so the awareness itself is transformative, and you see, to me, this is a profound distinction in this whole area of what we're calling human development or self-development, because getting more knowledge isn't really what we're talking about. We're talking about actually accessing the very decision maker that's running our non-conscious behavior, our automatic behavior.
Exactly, and of course, I that's the same field you're in too. You're teaching people the same thing. You may describe it in a little bit different way than I do, but we're both, teaching the same thing.
But this is stuff that a lot of people are kind of worried about when they think that something that's unconscious and driving the bus for them is suddenly going to become conscious. Don't they fear that there's some kind of demon running the bus back there, or something a little more heinous than this benevolent self that wants their life to work out?
Well, I think that they probably do think that. Now, that brings in another interesting point, because when people become aware of some of this stuff, a lot of times they do become depressed about it. They become unhappy, but they find out, oh my God, what kind of a loser am I that I have been creating all this stuff? And they get down on themselves. And essentially what they're doing is focusing their mind on what they don't want. They're focusing their mind on what they want to avoid, what they're afraid of, what they're worried about. And that's the other thing that happens when you actually become more aware in the sense that I've been describing it, and that is that it becomes more and more difficult for you to focus on what you do not want. One of the things that I frequently say, which is usually a revelation to people, but is very simple, is that all bad feelings are caused by focusing on what you do not want. There's no way to have a bad feeling without focusing on what you don't want. Most people do their focusing, unfortunately, completely unconsciously. So as you gain awareness and you begin to see how you're focusing your mind, and you begin to notice that, my God, I've been focusing on what I'm afraid of most of the time, and when you do that, two things happen. You get it most of the time, and you feel bad. So once somebody sees this with awareness, it becomes really hard to keep doing it. So that means that all bad feelings really are unnecessary, and they fall away once people gain the conscious awareness that allows them to see how they're creating them. And there's another little point I'd like to throw in, because there's another reason why people do personal growth things that we didn't touch on, and that is that they want to get this sort of feel-good hit. You know, people will read a book, and at the end of the book, they feel really good. Or they go to a seminar, and at the end, they have seminar high. But if they have not really gained any additional conscious awareness, any real awareness of how they're unconsciously running their life, they have really not evolved in any way. They have really not improved their situation. They just temporarily feel good. And many, many people run from one personal growth experience to another in order to feel good. And instead of gaining the awareness that would allow them to create feeling good themselves, instead of getting it from the outside, to feel good all the time. And then when you stop to think that when you go to a seminar and you get seminar high, what's really happened is that as a result of the seminar leaders working with you, they have gotten you one way or another to spend a lot of time focusing on what you want in your life. And so you feel good. Then you go back home and you go back to your old habit of focusing on what you're afraid of, what you don't want, and you go back to feeling bad and the seminar high goes away. But if you gained the awareness that where you could see how you were creating feeling good at the end of the seminar and how you were creating feeling bad later by changing your focus to what you don't want, then you'd be able to be in charge of it yourself and you wouldn't need to go to one seminar after another in order to get a contact high because somebody is kind of manipulating your focus for you.
Okay, well, this leads back to the question of how you created your business around this, because the distinction that you're making that I'm hearing is it's not just about knowing this stuff. There really is something at a neurological level that opens so that we really do gain this kind of awareness. Well, the question is, did you ever doubt that, you know, your passion for this kind of out-of-the-ordinary technology was going to actually support you financially?
You know, I'm glad we're getting back to passion because I know that Chris is going to really be after us at the end of this if we get off into something else. So,
well, your passion is coming through. It's cool.
When I started CenterPoint, I thought, at the time I started CenterPoint, I was making about $30,000 a year. And I remember sitting with my business partner at the time, who hasn't been involved for many, many years, but at the time I had a partner, I remember saying, God, wouldn't it be cool if we could both make $30,000 from this business? And now we, you know, very typically make way more than that in a single day, which I never could have imagined then. So I didn't really start this with the idea of it being a big business. I didn't have that vision at first. But I did have a really strong passion. And the passion was kind of like when you see a really cool movie or you read a really great book or something and you go around telling everybody, you've got to see this movie. You've got to read this book. I was so turned on about Holosync and what it does that I just was evangelical about it. And I just was going around trying to get everybody to give it a try and see what happens. And so that was really my passion. The idea that I was going to make a lot of money with it did not occur to me for a few years, really.
Okay, did it ever get to the point where you were concerned that it might or might not support you financially?
Well, it actually didn't support me financially for quite a while. The first year we were in business, we had a whopping $12,000 in sales.
Yeah, hey.
We had 43 customers at the end of the first year.
So how did you overcome your doubts at that time?
Well, actually, a very interesting thing happened at that point, which I don't know if Chris knows this story either. You know, one of my heroes has always been Napoleon Hill, and one of the things that Napoleon Hill is fond of saying is, every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit. But you have to look for that benefit, and you have to figure some way to germinate it. At the end of the first year, someone who had a similar business sued us for $1 million. Claiming that we had stolen their technology, that we had stolen, I mean, the list of things they said we had done was pretty long, and it was ridiculous. The entire thing was frivolous. And I didn't have very much money. I didn't know anything about lawsuits or anything like that. It scared the hell out of me. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and sit up in bed in a panic because I thought I was going to lose everything I had and lose my house and all this sort of thing. And I went to my attorney and I said, how much is this going to cost to defend this? And he said, well, you may find out why they say don't make a federal case out of it, because this could cost $150,000 in legal fees. Well, I had probably, you know, $3,000, $5,000 or something like that at the time. I had almost no money, so it was impossible for me to spend $150,000. But I had been reading about this, every adversity carries the seed of an equivalent or greater benefit, and so I thought, okay, what's the benefit of being sued for $1 million? And I went and sat down at my desk, and I started making a list of potential benefits. And I wish I still had that list, because every one of them came true. And before I was done, I had listed about 60 things. Some of them were sort of lame, like I'm going to learn a lot about the legal system, stuff that I'd rather, you know, not have had to learn. But at any rate, in relation to one of these benefits, I said to myself, okay, what if this company was worth defending to the tune of $150,000 in legal fees? And I began thinking what the company would look like if it was big enough that $150,000 was well worth it. And I said, well, gee, I'd be advertising in national magazines, I'd have a big headquarters and a lot of employees, I'd be doing speaking engagements different places, and this and that. I began to think of all this stuff that would be happening. And everything that I thought of is exactly the way it is now, and plus a lot of other stuff that I didn't think of. And I believe that if I had not been sued, Centerpoint probably would have limped along for another year or so, and then we would have tanked it, and that would have been it.
Wow.
The other good thing that happened from this lawsuit was that my business partner, who was really difficult to deal with, decided he wanted to quit, and he sold me his half of the company for $1. And so I always make sure that he finds out how well we're doing every time I run into somebody that I know that knows him, because he was kind of a jerk about the whole thing. At any rate,
well, this is it's such an interesting way to think about setting a goal. It's kind of like falling off over backwards and trying to grab yourself on something.
It was really because of this extreme adversity that I began to dream about what it could be like. And then I got busy and started to do things to make it be that way. I didn't know how to write an ad in a magazine, but I looked around to find somebody who knew something about marketing, and I began to work with them to try to create an ad.
Okay, well, that's what I want to head into next. I want to know some of the things around marketing that you did. And let's take off on that one, could we?
Because sure, sure.
I know that you've been proclaimed by some top internet marketers as a legend in marketing, and so obviously you didn't start out that way. What were some of the greatest successes or the success milestones that you had as you kind of developed your ability to share a HoloSync program to the public?
Well, first I should say that I, for some reason or another, maybe it was just common sense, I realized right away that the key to the whole thing was marketing. And I've later found out that many people have businesses and they don't think that. And usually their businesses aren't very successful.
Okay, so wait just a minute. Now, when you say marketing, you better define that, because I know that there's a difference between selling and marketing. So when you say that, and if most people don't really get it or think that way, what is it that you got about that was so key?
Well, I guess it's really, and I'm not sure that I know exactly what the difference is between selling and marketing, or even if I care exactly what the difference is, but I mean, I just thought nothing happens till a sale is made.
All right.
I wanted to get people into this program, so I thought I'm going to have to convince people that they should get into this program and use HoloSync, that it will really benefit them, that they will just go nuts over it like I did, and like all the other people that were playing around with it before I started Centerpoint also went nuts over it. So I did what seemed like common sense to me, but again, I don't see that many other people doing this sort of thing. I began to look for who were the most successful marketers that were around. And first I went to the library and looked for books, and there aren't too many books, unfortunately, by or about the most successful marketers around, but it gave me a little bit of a start, and I began to learn a few things. And just because my antenna were out, I was focusing on what I wanted to learn about marketing, I began to notice things that I wouldn't have noticed otherwise. So I came across Jay Abraham, who is a marketing legend. And through Jay Abraham, I learned about Gary Halbert, who's one of the best copywriters in the world. I learned about Joe Sugarman and Ben Suarez and Jonathan Nicholas? I'm forgetting his first name, but Ted Nicholas, and other people that were top marketers, and I began to get their stuff and read about what they thought about marketing and to try ideas that they had and adapt them to my business.
Nice.
And I just kept looking for more information about marketing and taking action to adapt what they were saying to my business.
So not everything that you tried worked, obviously.
You know, interestingly enough, almost everything I tried did work.
Oh, how cool is that?
unbelievable as it may sound. There's certain basic things that if you use them, they will work. For instance, and some of them sound so obvious, and most people probably even think they're doing it. But when I look at their marketing, I realize they're not doing it at all. And a simple example would be, if you want somebody to buy something from you, they're not going to buy it unless it benefits them in some way. So whenever you're talking to people about whatever your product or service is, you've got to be telling them about the benefits. Not only that, if you're smart, you will find out from the potential customers what benefits they want. And even the exact words they use to describe those benefits to themselves, instead of just guessing. Now, I know someone who is pretty successful in their business, and they recently had a big conference, a big seminar. And I was talking to this person about how to promote this, particularly on their website. And when I looked at the website, there was hardly a benefit anywhere. You even when you looked under rocks, you couldn't find any real mention of how this would benefit people. There was a lot of features. There was a lot of saying, this famous person is going to be there, but it didn't say how having that famous person be there was going to benefit someone who came. The person probably thought they were talking about benefits, but they really weren't. And when people learn that every time they're talking to anybody about their product, they have to be thinking, how is this going to benefit that person, and how can I tell them about that, and how can I then prove that I'm not just saying it, that it's really true? Now, that sounds so obvious, but I'll tell you that along with Brad Anton, who's my marketing director and one of the top marketing consultants and marketing speakers and gurus in the United States, when we do marketing, help other people with their marketing, we almost always find that people almost never mention the benefits of their product, believe it or not.
That's amazing. Now, when you started in on this, did it come kind of second nature to you to be able to think in terms of benefits, or is it something you actually had to train yourself to be able to hear and use when you spoke about something?
Well, I had taken the Dale Carnegie sales course and then been an assistant instructor for the Dale Carnegie sales course many, many years ago, long time before I started CenterPoint. And that's one of the things they stress, too, is telling a feature about your product, but then telling how that feature will benefit you. If you just tell the feature, people may say, it's like the old real estate joke where this person calls on an ad and says, does this house have a backyard? And they say, oh, it has a huge backyard. And they say, oh, well, we wanted a low care yard. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Because they didn't not only did that person not find out what benefits that person wanted, but, you know, they allowed that person to assume a benefit, what the benefit would be to a certain feature.
So
I knew something. I knew about this already. I don't know. Most of it just made sense to me. One of the things that I have always done, no matter what I'm trying to learn, is I go find who's really good at it, and then I ruthlessly copy them. And then I generally develop my own way to do it. But I start off by learning what the other people that are really good at it are doing. So I wanted to learn how to write really good advertising copy, write really good sales letters. So I found people who were writing really good sales letters. I found letters that had made millions and millions of dollars, and I copied them out word for word so that I would have to slow down and look really carefully at exactly what they were doing. And I went to seminars about it, and there's a certain price to pay to learn this. It's not that difficult of a price to pay, but there is a price to pay. You have to be interested enough in it. Well, and, you know, when the money starts rolling in obscene amounts that you never imagined could happen, you realize it was definitely worth it to pay that price.
Hey, Bill and
there's
Paul?
Bill and Paul.
Paul, can I break in for just a sec?
Yeah, please.
This is Chris.
Yeah.
So I heard a secret come out here that I want to make sure all of our listeners got that secret.
Well, it's a secret, Chris.
Yeah, well, we're going to bring it out into the open, Bill.
Okay.
I heard you say it, so you can't keep it secret anymore.
All right.
I heard you say that the way you did this was to copy people who were inordinately successful. We happen to know the reason we have you on the call tonight is because you're inordinately successful at what you're doing. So how can our listeners and readers copy you?
Well, that's actually pretty easy to do.
I knew it was. Will you tell
him? Is this a setup, Chris? Actually, it is amazing how many people will not copy people that are successful because they think they're losing their individuality if they do it, or they have some other... I mean, this is how people sabotage themselves, by figuring out reasons to not go ahead and do what already works really well. So there's a number of things that I am at least supposedly an expert in. One of them is what Paul and I were talking about earlier, which is gaining this extra awareness and learning about how you create your reality, the process that you are using inside to create your reality. So if people are interested in that, what they ought to do is get involved with what we do at Holosync. We're at Centerpoint. They ought to do this Holosync solution program, and then there are other programs that are offshoots of that we tell people about after they're using Holosync. So that would be one way, because when people are doing this Holosync solution program where they meditate daily with Holosync, we give you an incredible amount of information to help you understand what Holosync is, how it works, what's likely to happen, what it means, how to deal with it, and then all the other personal growth issues that come up to be resolved as you're doing this. We give you all kinds of information about that whole process. And so anybody that gets involved with this gets a doctor's degree in awareness and personal growth and how to get rid of dysfunctional feelings and behaviors, how to learn how to create your own reality and all this sort of thing. And we wouldn't have all these huge amounts of people in all over the world doing this if this didn't really work. And by the way, also because we really go the extra mile to make sure that people really do get all these benefits. Now, if what they want to model is my marketing success, the best thing they could do would be to come to a marketing seminar that Brad Anton and I are putting on, along with Jack Canfield and John Ashraf and Joe Vitale and Bob Sheinfeld, who are our guest speakers, in Las Vegas, June 10th, 11th, and 12th. And I don't know, should I tell them how to find out about that now, Chris?
Yeah, give us
or wait till the end.
Give us the web link now, that's fine.
If you want to find out about the marketing seminar, you should go to Healthy Wealthy N Wise, and I assume people know that it's the word healthy, the word wealthy, the letter N, and then the word wise, healthywealthynwise.com/Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S. That will take you to the marketing the marketing page that tells about the marketing seminar. And not only that, but by using that particular link, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is giving a certain number of scholarships, not total scholarships, but very generous scholarships to this marketing event, which is called How to Think Like a Marketer.
Yeah, great.
So that would be healthywealthyandwise.com/Harris, and that you can read all about this marketing event, which is going to be fabulous. And also, you can, if we don't run out of them, you can get a scholarship from Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. If you want to find out more about Holosync and Centerpoint, it would be healthywealthyandwise.com/holo, H-O-L-O.
And now, Bill, I just want to make a comment. The one of the things that you're famous for, and I know Paul is going to ask you more about this, but the letter that is on your page, talking about copying someone who's successful, I just want to share with our listeners that you have written a letter that has been inordinately successful that is right there on your site that anyone can go and read, right? Would you tell people just a little bit about how that letter has done in terms of actually helping people to decide to take advantage of the Holosync program, how well it's done from a marketing sales perspective?
Well, that letter definitely has done well. When you go to our website, the first thing you'll see is a letter from me to you that is explaining the Holosync Solution Program, what the benefits are, you know, why you should get involved, and making you an offer to get involved. And that letter, last time I totaled it up, and it's more than this now by a few million probably, but the last time I totaled up, that letter had made $40 million in sales.
Wow. That's a successful letter.
Which is a lot.
And
I was thinking the other day that they printed in the newspaper that B.J. Singh's lifetime earnings for golf was, I think it was $40 million, and I thought, hey, my lifetime earnings are the same. I don't get to play golf all day, but even if you're not interested in Holosync or think you aren't, you might want to go, if you're interested in marketing, and read that and study that letter. Because that letter has been an extremely effective marketing vehicle.
And again, that's healthywealthyandwise.com/holo, H-O-L-O. You'll find that letter. So, Paul, I just had to sneak in here and make sure that people heard that thing that Bill was saying about the best way to achieve success is to copy those who are successful. Make sure we got Bill to get that out. Thank you.
Yeah, I think Bill may be underselling himself a little bit, because when he mentioned to one of these top internet marketers that the effect of that one letter raised his response rate 400%, he really got the attention of those internet marketers as well.
Well, actually what you're saying isn't exactly accurate. Let me add one more thing first about this, about when people go to this healthywealthyandwise.com/holo, because we're going to give people who listen to this interview and go there a few extra things that we don't usually give other people, including a copy of my book, Thresholds of the Mind, and I think it's a 5 or 6 CD set of talks that I gave at a recent Centerpoint retreat. There's actually, I think, a couple $100 of other free bonuses we give people when they start the program. But if people from this interview join the Holosync Solution Program, we're also going to give them that. So that's another reason to use that particular link when you go there, so that you make sure that you get these free extras. So what you're talking about, Paul, is that quite a number of years ago, Brad Anton, actually, who wasn't working for me then, forwarded me a newsletter that Bob Serling, who was a very noted marketing consultant, had written about internet marketing. And he was saying that most internet marketing is pretty terrible, and most of it's just plain bullshit, in fact, and telling showing some of the things that he thought really did work. So I read this, and I was impressed with the article. I thought it was really great. So I wrote to Bob, who I knew a little bit, not well, but I knew him already. And I said, "Dear Bob, I really like your article. By the way, one thing that you didn't mention is something I'm doing that increased my sales instantly when I started to do it by 400%. Sincerely, Bill." And it took him about 3 minutes to call me and say, "Well, what is it?" And I told him what it was. And he said, "Well, I would like to interview you on a conference call, and I'll pay you $5,000 if you'll let me interview you." And I said, "Yeah, sure. 45 minutes for $5,000 sounds good to me." He sold seats in it for quite a lot of money, and then sold the recording of it for a long time. And then he later sold the recording to Corey Rudel, who's one of the top internet marketing gurus. And Corey later approached me and asked if I would do a follow-up interview. And now he sells both of them together. And their website is marketingtips.com, in case you're interested in Corey and what he does. But at any rate, would you like to know what the little secret was?
Absolutely.
I thought you probably would. And this goes back to actually to what I was saying about benefits and finding out about benefits. What I did was, when people, we're doing it a little different now, but in the beginning, when people left our site without buying, shame on them for doing that, but when they left without buying, there was a little pop-up that said, "Before you leave, if you would be willing to fill out a little survey for us, we will reward you by sending you a free Holosync demo CD and a free special report." And then we had 6 or 7 questions that people would fill out. Now we don't wait till they leave. We tell them several places all over the website that they, if they fill this out, they can get this free demo and free special report. But it was an exit survey in those days. So in this survey, one of the things we ask is, "Are you interested in Holosync? Yes or no?" And then the next question says, "What is the main benefit you're interested in?" And at first, we let people just type in whatever the benefit was, and we kind of compiled the answers. But once we'd done this for a few months, we had a whole bunch of answers, and we grouped them into 14 benefits and put a drop menu. So now people are choosing the main benefit they want in personal growth. So we know what benefit they want if we happen to want to tell them about how Holosync will help them get that benefit. Then later we asked, "Are you going to join the program?" Later in the interview, we said, or the survey, "Are you planning on joining the program? Yes, no, or maybe." And then the next question says, "If you said no or maybe, what is the main thing that's holding you back from joining the program right now?" And we ended up with 3 objections that we saw all the time. "I'm skeptical," "cost," and "I need more information." Every objection we got fell into one of those 3 categories. So anyway, as soon as people submitted this survey, we would send them a confirmation email saying, "Thanks for filling out the survey. Your special report and your demo CD are on the way to you." So in other words, in that way, we collected their name and address so we could send them our marketing material and send, you know, allow them to try it, because we knew when people tried it that they would think, "Wow, this is really amazing," and they would want to do it. Then we began to send a series of autoresponder-generated emails that started off, for instance, "Dear Paul, thanks so much for filling out our survey. Your free CD and special report are probably on the way to you right now. And they should be there pretty soon. You mentioned in your survey that your main goal in personal growth was to get rid of dysfunctional feelings and behaviors. Here's how Holosync will do that for you." And then it would go on for several paragraphs of really well-written direct response marketing copy and telling them how they it would give them the very thing that they told us they wanted. Then we would say, "You mentioned that the one thing that's keeping you from going ahead right now and joining the program is that you're skeptical," or whatever it was, and then we would thoroughly answer that objection. Then we would make them an offer again, telling them what they're going to get and how much it's going to cost, and that there's a free, there's a 1-year money-back guarantee, and we're going to give you all these extra free bonuses, and there's no risk to do this, and so on and so forth. And instantly, when we started doing that, our response rate quadrupled.
Wow.
This was fairly early on in the internet when we were doing this, but if we were getting 10 sales a day on our website, it instantly went to 40.
Wow.
And it was just, and it, all it was finding out what the customer wanted and then telling them how they could get it. Except we figured a way to do it over the internet.
Okay, so see, the next question that I had was really about me, more personally.
Well, I'm not an expert on you, but
well,
give it a shot.
You may be. You know, it seems like there's always obstacles or challenges when we're trying to create something new and hoping for our own success. And many of us who really want to cultivate our passions and manifest our own dreams, we know we're going to face some of those challenges. You received those challenges. You looked at what was happening on the internet. You saw that people are leaving, and you didn't get any information from them. It was impossible for you to handle any of their objections unless you were able to hear them first. So to me, that's a huge piece of advice. I love it. Got a lot out of that. When I think about challenges that may face me in bringing a new idea, as you did with Holosync Technology, when I'm bringing a new idea that I'm passionate about out into the world, what advice might you have for me or anyone else who's listening when we face our challenges, when it feels like we're getting shot down, when it feels like we're not getting the result that we would have hoped for?
Well, first of all, I think you have to realize that this Napoleon Hill thing I mentioned really is true, that when you have a challenge or a setback or a failure or something like that, there really is a huge opportunity in it. Most people, though, focus their mind in the wrong direction, and then they miss it. I'll get back to the question in general, but here's just another example. We're right in the process right now of installing a $500,000 Oracle database, which just gives us many more abilities to do things that we couldn't do before with our current computer system. And about a week ago, we pulled the switch to switch from what we were doing before to what we're doing now, and all kinds of stuff hit the fan. And we ended up not being able to take any orders for about a week. And during that week, we probably had $500,000 worth of business come in that's sitting there swirling around in cyberspace in electrons that we couldn't get, and we couldn't also send the product to people either.
Ouch.
Which to me is a huge disaster, because I really care about these customers and what happens to them. And so at any rate, I try to think sort of like the Four Seasons Hotel thinks. If something goes wrong and inconveniences the customer, how can I make this so good for them that they're almost glad it happened? So I won't go into all the details on it, but I'm now figuring out all kinds of great things that I'm going to do for all the people that unfortunately got caught in that and inconvenienced and are getting whatever they asked for from us late. And I'm going to make a huge, huge lemonade out of this so that all these people are thinking, God, what an amazing company. These people really care about us. So, yes, it's inconvenient, and this has been somewhat of a minor disaster, and I mean, I could go on and tell you details about it that would get you to really realize what a disaster it was, but eventually this is going to make us more business and make us more happy customers.
Excellent. Well, I'm also
so that's
here.
That's just an example of this. What I find that people do when something happens that an outcome happens they didn't want, you know, they do a promotion and it doesn't work, their mind tends to get pulled to what they're afraid of, what they don't want, what they're worried about, that sort of a thing. And that is really poison when you do that. It's really easy. It's sort of like sliding downhill to let your mind go there. But what you need to do is develop the habit of saying, okay, what about this is an opportunity? What about this is good? What did I learn from this? What can I do to turn this into an opportunity instead of a failure? What did I learn from this that will allow the next step to work better? And those, it might sound, you know, like, okay, big deal, you're asking those questions. That doesn't mean that you're going to find the answers. But the thing is that if you're focusing your mind on those questions, I mean, really thinking about them, getting really curious about what is the answer to that question? How? What about this is really an opportunity for me that's going to make me glad this happened this way? Your unconscious mind picks up that you're focusing on that with a lot of passion and a lot of intensity, and it figures out the answer. And I have never had something like this happened where I thought that way and it did not turn out to be some huge benefit for me.
Well, this
ever.
If you focus on
what is the benefit, how can I turn this into something positive, your unconscious mind will deliver the answer to you in one way or another.
This is so great. This is really that transformative awareness that you were talking about that Holosync generates in you. Is that instead of getting down on yourself, instead of focusing on what you don't want, ending up getting it or feeling bad, you really just make that shift. But let me take this for just a moment, because we're going to wrap it up here in a few minutes. Holosync is a technology that really lets an individual achieve more balance, not just in their brain waves, but really in, as you're saying, more of their thinking. So when something knocks them off, instead of them spiraling out of control, it seems like you're saying, you write yourself so quickly in that mindset that says, how can I make the best of this? What is the opportunity here that's going to really transform my life? So really that kind of internal balance creates not only a more balanced and effective life, but certainly it's going to have a huge difference in anybody's business. So talk to me about the role of this sense of internal balance that allows you to live more passionately and really manifest your dreams.
Well, you know, as long as a person is what I would call an unconscious automatic response mechanism, as long as something that you didn't want to happen happens, and you immediately, unconsciously, and really unintentionally, go to what you're worried about, oh no, this is going to happen, what's wrong with me, all this negative stuff. As long as you're doing that, that sort of shields you from getting to the part of your mind that can solve any problem and answer any question. But once you start directing your mind toward what is the potential benefit, what's the answer to this question, how can I do this, whatever this happens to be, a whole different realm of possibilities open up. Now, you can do this sort of by gritting your teeth, and every time your mind gets pulled to the negative side, pulling it back. But if you use Holosync, it quiets all that stuff, all that negative stuff, so that it makes it easier and easier and easier until it's just effortless to automatically go to the place where you do tap into that part of your mind that just automatically knows the answer. And it used to be that it would take me 2 or 3 months sometimes to answer a tough question, such as, what's the benefit of being sued for $1 million? But now when I have something happen and I ask that question, usually within 5 seconds, the answer comes to me. And then other answers continue to come to me. So, you know, you bring up something very interesting when you tie this into passion. Because I guess I could frame this by saying I've been very fortunate, blah, blah, blah. But it really wasn't just fortune or luck that did it. I made a conscious decision to run my brain in a way that really successful people run their brain, and then I happened to have this tool, Holosync, that cleaned out a lot of crap in my head that makes it more difficult to do that. But the result was that I ended up in a career where I get to be creative, I get to help people, I get to make a lot of money, I get to use my thinking capacity to the fullest, and I get to meet all kinds of wonderful people and speak in front of wonderful groups and all kinds of things like that. And if people want to be fulfilled, here's the way to say it. This is something that I very, very often say to groups. For any outcome you want, including being happy or being fulfilled or being rich or whatever it is, for any outcome you want, there is a certain way of thinking and acting that will get it for you. Your job is to find it and be flexible enough to try it on. Now, it's actually finding it is the easier part because there's two ways to find it. One way is to find other people that are already doing it and copy them. That's a fast way to get 90% of the way there, at least. The other way is to learn how to ask these kinds of questions, like, what's the benefit in this? How can I do X? And to learn to tap into your unconscious mind, because it will deliver the answers to you also. So the how-to, finding the way of thinking and acting that will get you a certain outcome is actually the easier part. The part that people have trouble with is being flexible enough to try it on, because people are really married to the way that they're already thinking and acting, which is the way people sabotage themselves, by not being willing to give up what they currently believe, not being willing to change the internal processes they use, not being willing to change their values, or whatever part of their internal process that they find out is in their way, people still hang on to it. They think that beliefs are cast in stone. The actual truth about beliefs is that beliefs create your reality, along with a few other things. And that means that if you know that, the smart thing to do is to figure out, what do the people believe who are getting what I want to get, and adopt those beliefs, even if you don't have the experiences that would normally lead you to believe those things. Believe them anyway. Pretend to believe them. Read about them. Hang out with other people that believe them, and pretty soon you really will believe them. And once you believe them, the results that flow from those beliefs will happen to you too.
That's so excellent. Thanks so much. It's fabulous. Now, to wrap it up, there are two things I'd like to do. First is the typical closing we love to do here. At Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, we believe strongly in the power of intention to manifest outcomes. So I want to ask you, Bill, what is your biggest current project? And what intention would you like us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, along with our readers and listeners, to hold for you?
Well, I'll tell you, my intention at this point is to get as many people on Earth using Holosync and learning the information that I teach in the online courses that I have, and actually even in the marketing stuff that I'm teaching a lot too. A couple of years ago, I decided that the big way to do that, to really have CenterPoint come into its own, was to get people who were centers of influence interested in Holosync and interested in telling the people that they had influence over to use it. And I held that intention in my mind. And since then, I have met and started working with Ken Wilber. I've met and started working with Jack Canfield. Jack started this Transformational Leadership Council that you and I, Paul, both belong to, and I've met all the people in that, and I was asked to speak at the United Nations, and all kinds of things leading to, they've written about us in the New York Times, and we've had feelers from Newsweek and Time magazine. And so that really came about because I began to intend to do it. In fact, I'll tell you another little benefit of Holosync that I'm beginning to realize is that when people do Holosync for several years and really apply themselves to it, they begin to develop the ability to manifest whatever they want. I did not do any hard work to have all the things I just mentioned happen. I really just intended that they happen. Now, I would have had to do hard work on it 5 years ago, but at this point, I just had to intend it and then take action on the possibilities that popped up. So if people want to hold an intention for CenterPoint, it would be that it come more and more from under the radar to above the radar, so that the next time that they do a issue in Time about meditation or in Newsweek, that were prominently mentioned, because I know that both magazines were deluged with calls when they had articles about that from our customers saying, why didn't you mention Holosync? It's better than any of the things you mentioned. So if people want to help out, they can intend that along with me.
Well, thanks. We'll definitely hold that intention. And, you know, I want to just hold that up for everyone who's listening as well. That when you suggested to me that I might put Holosync tracks on my paraliminal technology, which I developed back in 1988, we put those on in our recent re-edition, reissuing of all of our paraliminal recordings, and the results have been fabulous. The difference in brain states, the difference in mental clarity and awareness, people are reporting how different the paraliminal technology has been as a result of bringing your technology into it. So again, I want to thank you and say I'm a big two-thumbs-up believer in the Holosync technology. It's been tremendous.
And certainly the paraliminal technology and Holosync work together really wonderfully.
Yep, just beautiful.
So, you know, and you and I are definitely on the same page in what we teach about how the mind works and how people create their reality. So it's definitely a marriage made in heaven. You know, and ultimately what I'm really trying to do at this point, I've made so much money now, I don't need money. I mean, I give away tons of money now to charity and mostly having to do with helping inner city kids and that sort of thing. But I really still feel the same way and with the same passion that I did when I first started and hoped I could make $30,000 a year with this. I feel like a little kid who's found something really cool and wants to share it with all the other kids. And Holosync really changes lives in a very profound way. And I just want to spread this all over the world.
Well, thanks so much. And there, I want to leave with three really key take-home messages that I received from you tonight, Bill. There's a lot, but three that really hit me. Certainly one is that every adversity carries with it the seed of an equivalent benefit, but you have to germinate it. That was huge. Second is that nothing really happens until the sale is made, and if you want people to buy something from you, you've got to tell them how it will benefit from it, and also you've got to prove that it's really true. So I love that. And the third one was, for any outcome I want, there absolutely is a way, and I've got to be flexible enough to try on those possibilities. In essence, and I think the bottom line was, I have to make a conscious decision to take charge of and run my own brain. That's so powerful.
Absolutely. For any outcome you want, there is a certain way of thinking and acting that will get it for you. You have to find it and be flexible enough to adopt it.
Fabulous. Okay, Bill, before I turn the call back over to Chris, I just want to ask, is there any one single idea that you would like to leave our listeners with tonight?
Well, I think I've shot the main big ideas out of the canon. I just want people to realize that even if they cannot see how they're doing it at this time, every person is creating their reality. Every person is creating all the internal states they feel and everything that happens to them externally. So your job as an evolving human being is to find out how you're doing that so that you can take charge of it and do it consciously instead of it happening on autopilot. And that's really what we do at Centerpoint, is we show people how they're creating their life unconsciously and how they could create it consciously.
Thanks so much. Chris?
You bet.
Back to you.
Great. Thank you both. Thank you so much, Paul, and thank you, Bill. And Paul Sheely, you are, as always, just an incredible host, and I want to, again, let people know that Learning Strategies, www.learningstrategies.com, is your website, and I hope all of our listeners will take a look at that. And, Bill, thank you so much for all the wisdom that you shared tonight. you know, one of the things that I got out of this, just listening to you, is a principle that Janet and I teach over and over again, which is that any success in life begins from this place of giving, and that's really clearly where you come from. This whole idea of identifying what are the benefits to your customers is all about how can you give them what you know is valuable in a way that they will understand and make sense, and will make sense to them, right?
Yeah, you could get anything you want in life by giving other people what they want.
Good. Thank you for that. Perfect. And so, and the secret I just want to that you shared, I want to make sure that everyone that has an interest, if you on the line have a passion and that you're wanting to figure out how can I make this available, how can I get it out to the world, how can I help people learn about the benefits and see the benefits of it, I encourage you to go and look at this letter that Bill has created, and as well as look at the Holosync technology itself. And again, you can go to www.healthywealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/holo, H-O-L-O, and you'll be able to see this amazing letter that Bill has written that has created over $40 million in sales as it's been used. And then for those of you who are really at the point that you have a business idea, you have something that you're really ready to take to a completely another level, and you want to and are ready to study with people who are the very best at doing what Bill's been talking about tonight in terms of allowing people to understand and see the benefits that they can gain from your business, from your product or your service, then I encourage you to read about and enroll in the marketing seminar that Bill and his marketing director, Brett Anton, are putting on in Las Vegas in June. And again, you can read all about that by going to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N is in Nancy, wise.com/Harris. And as Bill mentioned, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise is giving a limited number of scholarships, so any of you that feel that this is really appropriate for you, there a portion of the course fee for that will be covered, and you should go and check that out now. And that really is appropriate if you're at the point that you have a passion and you want to take it to another level. So, Bill, thank you again so much for being with us. It's always an honor and a privilege. And I just want to take a moment now and share with our listeners the people, incredible interviews that we still have coming up this month and in the coming months. In 2 weeks, we'll be interviewing Debbie Ford, the number one best-selling author of The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. Debbie is another huge person in the whole area of personal growth, and her latest book, I think it's called Creating the Best Year Ever, she'll be talking about as well. You'll absolutely want to be here for that call. In June, the beginning of June, we'll be interviewing Dennis Waitley. Dennis Waitley, who is an icon, of course, in the corporate and business world, in this whole area of success and creating success. In the latter part of June, we'll be interviewing Raymond Arend, who is the creator of the Wealth Creator Source, again, an amazing partner, and along with Janet and Paul and Bill, are all members of Jack Canfield's Transformational Leadership Council. And then at the beginning of July, July 5th, we'll be interviewing producer David Lynch. We're going to go from this whole area of success and creating wealth in June to a whole nother arena, talking to some people who their passions lie in the artistic field, in the creative field. So in July, David Lynch was the producer of Twin Peaks and Mulholland Drive. He's an Academy Award-winning producer. In August, Stephen Simon will be coming back and has a couple of top secret guests that we'll be announcing soon who are Academy Award-winning scriptwriters and producers who we'll be interviewing at the beginning of August. So we have some amazing interviews coming up, and thank you, all of you, for being with us. We look forward to being with you again in 2 weeks. I'm going to open it up to now and say good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.